Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Kiss Me Forever by Anna B. Doe. Narrated by Troy Duran and Raquel Beatty. I will spend an eternity loving you, caring for you, respecting you, showing you every day that I hold you as high as the stars. Steve Maraboli. Chapter 1. Hayden. "Sure you don't want to go?" I ask, looking at Zane, who's still working on his legs. The sweat is dripping from his forehead, his jaw pressed tight as he finishes his fifth rep. Getting to a standing position, he gets the bar off his shoulders and onto the rack with a loud bang. "Nope." Zane grabs the towel off the bench and wipes his face. "Ray has to be back in Boston to practice. No way can she lose a week now in Hawaii." Prescott bumps his shoulder into Zane's as he passes him by. "Hades didn't ask about your girlfriend, asshole. He asked about you." Prescott barely glances at the weights before he sinks onto a leg press machine. Zane swears softly. "It's too much for you, dickhead." He goes to adjust the weight, removing half of it while Prescott scowls at him. "That's how much weight I can press? Maybe before the injury. Didn't Dr. Snow tell you to take it easy on the legs?" If it's possible, Prescott's expression darkens even more. "Easy won't get me back on the field by the time the training camp starts. Neither will re-injuring yourself, which is a high possibility if you push too much too soon. Whatever." As soon as Zane secures the weights, Prescott starts with a workout, a deep frown between his brows. Zane and I exchange a silent look. Prescott's been acting all broody and shit ever since he injured his leg last November during the game, and it didn't help that his injury wasn't healing as well as everybody hoped it would. Nobody wanted to say it out loud, but the more time passes, the more likely it seems that he'll never be at 100% again, which means no more football. Even thinking about it has a shiver running down my spine. It's not something any athlete who's a step away from going pro wants to think about. "You can still come with us," Emmett suggests from the bench where he's working on his arms. Zane shrugs. "Sun and beach are not really my thing." Emmett gives him a side glance. "Sun and beach are everybody's thing." "I'd take the ice any day of the week." "I think it has more to do with your ice princess than with the ice itself." Prescott shakes his head. "I never thought I'd see you pussy whipped, West." "I'm not pussy whipped." Prescott raises his brows. "Then why don't you go with us?" "Because I'd rather spend a week with my girlfriend than watch your ugly mug and listen to you complain." "Like I said, pussy whipped. But I guess that means more girls for me." Prescott grits his teeth, the sweat dripping down his forehead as he pushes through. The stubborn asshole. "Who's all going in the end?" "Nixon, Yasmin, Callie, and me. Emmett, Cade, and her sister. Chloe and Jade. I'm not sure if Jade's friend is going or not." I shrug. "I guess we'll see tomorrow. Oh, and Spencer." "It's like a damn couples retreat," Prescott grunts, getting off the leg press machine. "It's not a couples retreat. The numbers are pretty evened out. Besides, you and Spencer in one place are more than enough. Last thing I need is to babysit more guys from the team and prevent them from doing something stupid while on vacation." "Hey now," Prescott starts to protest, but I give him a pointed look. "And please, for all that's holy, don't try to sleep with anybody from the group. We don't need that kind of mess." Prescott snorts. "As if I'd look at the smart-ass cold chick twice." I shake my head, not even bothering to point out that she's not the only single girl on the trip. I rub my hand over my face. Why does it feel like this has disaster written all over it? "You still good about dropping us at the airport?" I ask Zane, more than happy to change the subject.
"Sure thing."
My phone buzzes in my pocket. I pull it out and read Nixon's message. I grab my towel and throw it over my shoulder. "I've got to go." I glare at Prescott. "Try not to end up in a hospital before leaving tomorrow."
Damn. How is one supposed to choose?
"I have no damn idea." I shake my head. My eyes are firmly fixed on all the rings laid out in front of us. They sparkle under the fluorescent lights, blinding me. There are so many of them, from different colors to different diamond shapes to different stones altogether. It's almost intimidating. Okay, let's be honest. It is intimidating. There's no almost about it. We should have asked Emmett to come with us, Nixon mutters. Pulling another ring out, I examine it for a moment before putting it back in place. I give him a side glance. I think he gave Kate his mother's ring. Nixon stops for a moment, a dark shadow falling over his face. Instantly, I feel shitty for mentioning it at all. In a few short days, it's going to be the one-year anniversary of his mom's death from breast cancer. This time last year, he spent spring break at his house with his younger sister Jade and Yasmin, taking care of his mom. I couldn't even imagine how hard that was for him. He kept it all to himself, and we only found out after his mother passed away because Yasmin called us and asked us to come. Yeah, well, Nixon rubs his hand over his face. I saved that one for Jade one day. Not that any asshole would be good enough for her, but... He shrugs, picking yet another ring. It felt right that she had it. I guess that makes sense. Not that I have that problem. It wasn't any secret that my mother ran away just before my dad was sent to jail for fraud. She just picked up her things and left, not once bothering to look back, which is how I ended up with my grandmother.
Did you young men find what you're looking for?
The clerk asks as he joins us once again. These are all really nice, but... Nixon rubs the back of his neck. Do you maybe have something different? The man pulls his brows together over the rim of his glasses.
Different?
Yes, different. Nixon looks to me as if I know what the hell he's talking about. Less bling. Kind of like old school. Delicate. Unique. The man nods his head.
I see.
He turns around and starts pulling a few other drawers open until he finds what he's looking for.
How about something like this?
We look over the new selection.
I'm not sure. Or?
The guy pulls open one of the drawers and gets out a single box. He opens the box and gives the ring that's inside a thoughtful look before turning it toward us.
How about this one?
Chapter 2. Emmett.
No, Mabel.
Kate sighs in frustration.
I said sunflowers and daisies, with a little bit of greenery. That's it.
Kate listens intently to whatever her aunt is telling her on the other side of the line. She places the cup of coffee on the counter and rubs her temples.
Talk to her. I don't want anything extravagant. It's a backyard wedding, for God's sake.
She sounds tired and frustrated. I wish I could say this is the first time she's been like that, but I'd be lying. Ever since I proposed to her and we... And by we, what I really mean is she started planning the wedding. She's been overwhelmed by everything. And while both her aunt and my mom had the best of intentions, they only brought more of the same. Drama. At this point, I won't be surprised if Kitty dumps my ass before the wedding.
No, two tears are more than enough,
Mabel says something on the other side of the line. I can't decipher what, but it has Kate shaking her head.
I know, but...
Fuck that. Crossing the kitchen, I wrap my arm around Kate's middle, leaning my head on her shoulder. She relaxes into me, and I pry her fingers from her phone, bringing it to my ear. Hey, Mabel, I greet, interrupting her mid-sentence. There's a beat of silence.
Emmett, hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, ma'am. How about you? How are things back home? Kate looks over her shoulder at me, a small smile on her lips.
Same old, same old. Without you kids home every day, it's almost always the same.
I highly doubt Bradley is keeping you bored like that. Mabel chuckles happily like she always does at the mention of her boyfriend.
I didn't say that. Organizing the wedding does keep things interesting. And while I'm on that, I should really talk to Kate about that cake. I really worry that Two Tears isn't going to...
Mabel? I interrupt her gently. Two Tears is going to be more than enough. We're having a small wedding. Kate sent you the picture of how she wants it, right? I'm pretty sure I remember her showing me a photo or two of what the cake will look like, among other things. Not that it actually matters. The only thing I care about is finally calling Kate mine, forever.
Yes, she sent the photo.
Great. Then this is taken care of. Now, if you'll excuse us, Kate still has to finish packing because we're leaving for the airport in a few hours.
I still can't believe you're not coming home for spring break. None of you.
Mabel sighs, although I don't miss the slight accusation in her tone. Well, this is our final chance to relax before the last few weeks of college hit us. Then you'll have us back home for good. I brush my lips against Kate's temple, inhaling her sweet scent.
I guess there's that.
I chuckle at her dry and clearly unhappy tone.
Take care of my girls, Emmett.
I always do, ma'am. We say our goodbyes and I hang up the phone. Kate turns in my arms, wrapping them around my neck.
Thank you.
No thanks needed, kitty. I place the phone on the counter and pull her closer to me. Her body molds to mine perfectly, just like it always does. Catherine Adams was made for me in every way possible, and I wasn't about to lose her over our maddening families.
I love her, but God, she drives me nuts sometimes.
Well, it's all taken care of.
For now.
For now, I agree. I've heard too many conversations like this to be naive enough to believe this is the final one. There won't be a final one until the wedding is over, but the crisis has been temporarily averted. So, why don't you finish your coffee and pack? Kate nibbles at her lip nervously, her finger playing with the hair peeking from under my ball cap.
Do you seriously think this is the best plan? Maybe we should go home instead and...
I press my finger against her lips, shushing her. This is the best plan. Between school and organizing this wedding, you're in need of some downtime. And that's exactly what this is. Downtime. Sand, beach, ocean, and cocktails. What better way to decompress? Kate shakes her head.
I still can't believe we're going to Hawaii.
Believe it, baby. Leaning down, my mouth captures hers. Gently, my lips move over hers, teasing her mouth with small kisses. Kate moans softly, the throaty sound making me growl as I deepen the kiss. I wrap her ponytail around my wrist, tugging her head back just the way she likes it, my tongue twining with hers. Kissing her is my undoing. It has been ever since she planted that first kiss on me our junior year of high school, and I was a goner for her. I might have been just a 17-year-old kid, but I knew even then that Kate was somebody special, and I'd do anything to have her in my life. Ever since then, she's been mine, and I've been hers. Once in a lifetime. With one last swipe of my tongue, I pull back, breaking the kiss.
Go pack.
I slide my hands down to her ass and give her a playful smack. Before I drag you to our bedroom and have my way with you. Kate smiles, a wicked glint in her irises, her cheeks pink.
That doesn't sound so bad.
My dick throbs in agreement, making me groan. You're killing me, woman. Go.
Fine.
She rolls her eyes and starts walking toward our bedroom.
Go check with Penny?
Sure. And then I need a cold shower. No, an icy shower. Shaking my head to clear my mind, I go to the sink and splash some cold water on my face. And then I rearrange the situation in my pants before I go down the hallway. After I finally managed to get Kate to agree to move in together off campus, I knew we'd have to obtain a bigger place with Penny and Henry, of course, coming to Blairwood. When it comes to housing, they made an exception for Penny to help her acclimate to her surroundings while we're still here. Because moving to a new home when you're blind and using a guide dog is no easy feat. It was either that or changing one of the dorm rooms into a suite to accommodate her and Henry. I knock lightly, and at a soft,
"Come in."
I push open the door.
"Hey, Emmett."
Penny turns around in her chair to face the door, slowly closing a tube of one or another makeup thingy. Henry looks up at me from his spot at the bottom of the bed, his tail up in the air, wagging happily. "You know that's freaky, right?" I ask, only half joking, and lean against the doorway. She tilts her head to the side, pushing a strand of her platinum hair behind her ear.
"What is?"
"You knowing it's me before I say a word?" Penny laughs softly.
"It's your footsteps. They're heavier than Kate's, so it's not like it's really a surprise."
Still freaky. I take in the room, noticing the carry-on sitting on her bed. "You ready to go?"
"Just about. Better question is Kate ready?"
I chuckle lightly. "I just sent her to finish packing."
"Aunt Mabel?"
she asks knowingly. "Yeah, there was something about the cake. Or flowers? God knows." Penny rolls her eyes.
"I'm sure it was very important."
Smart ass. I chastise, but can't help the smile curling my lips. I lift my ball cap and run my fingers through my hair. Although, if anybody asks one more time about some bullshit like that, I would be tempted to just elope.
You could do that.
She lifts her finger and wiggles it in my direction in warning.
But only if you take me. No eloping without the sister of the bride.
Laughing, I go to her and ruffle her hair. She might be a freshman in college, but to me, she'll always be little Adams. No way would we leave you and Henry behind. Penny tilts her head back, blue eyes that match her sister's perfectly staring right into mine, wide but unseeing.
I'm not a baby any longer, you know? You don't have to take me with you everywhere you go. Well, except if you're eloping.
Some days it's hard for me to believe how much she's grown up since I first met her. She wasn't a little girl any longer, but a beautiful young woman. Not like it'll make leaving her here any easier next year. She was the younger sister I never had and didn't even realize I needed until the moment she walked into my life and stole my heart. I've never said you were, but you are like a little sister to me. I run my thumb under her eye, removing a black smudge over her eyelid.
Do I have something on my face?
She raises her hand and slides the tip of her finger over the same spot I just did. Just a tiny bit, but it's gone now. And to answer your question, of course we had to take you. It's a group thing. Everybody's going.
Not everybody. Your friends are going.
And you're our family. If that doesn't count, what does? The song changes and a deep, sultry voice fills the room. I groan out loud. Are you still listening to this? Penny's cheeks flush.
Maybe. It's a good song.
More like you still have a crush on the main singer.
I don't have a crush,
she protests, ducking her head. But not before I can see color rising into her cheeks.
I just like the song.
Mm-hmm. What was his name again? Stefan?
Sebastian Black,
Penny corrects instantly.
He's a Grammy winner, so it's not like I'm the only one who likes him. He's just that good.
Debatable, I huff. You're way better than any of them, and I don't see any Grammys in this room. Not only is Penelope amazing on the piano, she has a great voice, too. Something I didn't even realize until recently, since she rarely sings, but every time she does it, it gives me chills. That's how good she is.
I don't know about that.
Penny gets to her feet. She stashes the makeup in a little bag and takes it to the open suitcase. I watch as she makes sure everything is packed properly before closing and zipping the suitcase. As soon as the zip is in place, I gently move her aside and put the suitcase on the floor.
I could have done that, you know.
Penny goes to Henry and gently rubs him behind his ears. What do you keep me around for?
Gee, I don't really know.
I roll my eyes, although I know the effect is lost on her. Gee, thanks. Are you all packed?
Yep.
Henry's passport, too? That earns me another eye roll. For somebody who can't see it, she damn well knows when and how to use it.
Henry's passport, too.
Just checking. A few years back, their mom tried to take them out of Texas, but thanks to Penny not having the dog's passport, they weren't able to leave the state. Which came in handy then, because their aunt and I managed to get to them just in time. However, I still have trauma from that day.
Don't worry. Kate helped me yesterday. Besides, this is one vacation I actually want to go on. I can't wait to feel the sand under my feet and swim in the ocean.
Just as long as you promise not to go wandering around on your own.
Yes, Dad.
Don't be sassy with me, young lady. I poke her playfully in the side, making her giggle.
Me?
She blinks innocently.
Never.
I shake my head as I leave the room. She'll be the death of me, I swear it.
Chapter 3. Callie.
This place is sweet, Emmett grins as he turns around, taking in the cottage we rented for the week. He's right, though. Since we decided on this vacation last minute, we lucked out to find a place big enough for all of us that's close to the beach. And this one wasn't just close to the beach. It was basically on the beach itself. It was also a little farther from the town, but we were here for fun, sand, and ocean anyway. Right? I ask, picking up a little mermaid statue from the coffee table. I can't believe nobody snatched it before us. The cottage-style house looks even better in real life than in the photos. It has a bohemian look, with mismatched furniture and ocean-themed trinkets scattered through the house. Downstairs is one big open space plan, with a kitchen, living, and dining room all in one. A narrow staircase on the other side leads to the top floor, where there are bedrooms. A small hallway leads to the back, where there should be a small bathroom and two additional bedrooms. "Our win," Yasmin grins at me over her shoulder as she walks further into the room. Then she turns around and faces the floor-to-ceiling windows. "Oh my God, look at that view!" She pulls Nixon after her toward the windows, Jade and Chloe behind them. "Seriously, how stunning is that?" They're not wrong. The wall that runs up the back of the house and leads to the back porch is covered in windows. It gives a stunning look at the ocean. Hayden wraps his arms around me from the back and pulls me into his chest, his mouth brushing against my forehead. I glance at him over my shoulder. "Can you imagine how it looks when the sun sets?" "Breathtaking." The way he says it has a shiver running down my spine. There's a mischievous twinkle in his eye that I know all too well. Before I can say anything, somebody whistles. "Sweet!" I turn around just in time to see Spencer and Prescott enter the house. "Let's get our shit sorted out and get out to the beach." "Sounds like a plan," Emmett nods. "We'll take the downstairs rooms. You good, little Adams?" Kate's sister shakes her head at him. "We're fine, aren't we, Henry?" She pats the dog's fur gently. "Let's go find the room, Henry." "Now that's sorted," Hayden pulls back, his hand wrapping around mine. "Last one sleeps on the couch." "Hayden," I protest as he pulls me toward the stairs with the rest of our friends right on our heels. "What about our stuff?" "I'll go grab it later," he says, as he opens the door to the first room. But apparently that one's not good enough, because he continues pulling me down the hallway. We pass two more rooms before he finally finds the one he likes. "This one." "And how is this one different from the rest?" I ask, laughing. Every room is unique in its own way, but I highly doubt that Hayden picked it because of its decor. Hayden turns me around so I'm facing the window. "Because of this." "Oh, wow." I move closer to the window to get the full effect of the stunning view in front of me. If I thought the one from downstairs was gorgeous, I was utterly wrong. The additional height makes it possible to see for miles, miles and miles of the vast ocean and beaches. Heaven on earth. This is something else entirely.
"I told you so."
Hayden pulls me into his chest, his arms tightening around my middle. "This was the best idea ever," I say, grinning. Hayden rolls his eyes at me.
"You only say that because it was your idea."
"Maybe." I turn in his embrace, looping my arms around his shoulders. "But you can't say I wasn't right. This was exactly what we needed."
"Fine," he admits reluctantly. "You're right."
"I know I am." I slide my fingers into his hair. Rising on the tips of my toes, I press my mouth against his in a soft kiss that soon turns heated. His hands cup my cheeks as he tilts my head back, his tongue dipping into my mouth as his body rubs against mine, and I can feel his hard cock pre-
"Seriously, you guys? Already?"
With a low growl, Hayden breaks the kiss, his forehead pressing against mine.
"Get the hell out of here, Wentworth." Hey now. Get the fuck out, Hayden repeats. I'm going. He lets out a shaky breath and gently brushes my hair behind my ears. Remind me, why didn't we go on vacation alone? I chuckle. You don't mean that. Don't say it twice. With a soft kiss to my lips, he takes a step back. I'll go and pick up our things so we can change and go to the beach. Sounds like a plan. I watch him leave the bedroom. Only when I'm alone do I let out a shaky breath and turn my attention back to the scenery in front of me. Pushing open the balcony door, I go out and inhale the salty air, letting it fill my lungs. The excitement at the prospect of spending the next few days with Hayden and my friends is spreading through my body. It takes Hayden a few minutes to bring our suitcases up. I let him go to the bathroom first to change, while I find my swimsuit in the mess that's my suitcase. I basically just dumped all the things inside this morning before we went to the airport, and it shows. Did the suitcase explode? Hayden asks, his arms wrapping around me as he presses his lips to my neck. No. It looks like it did. I turn in his arms. It's called suitcase malfunction. I give him a little shove. Look it up. Laughing, I walk to the bathroom. I quickly take off my clothes and put on the bikini I picked up for this trip. I haven't worn a bikini in forever. Not since the accident. And the reflection in the mirror reminds me exactly why. My mouth turns dry as I stare at myself. God, what was I thinking? I glance toward the counter, picking up a simple cover-up I packed along with the suit and put it on. There's still too much of my skin exposed, even with that on. A soft knock on the door startles me. Hey, Angel, are you ready? Yeah, I stutter, my eyes widening. Just a minute. I tuck a strand of hair behind my ear and suck in my lower lip, my eyes glued to my reflection in the mirror. My fingers curl around the bottom of the cover-up and tug at it, but it's useless. Why did I think this was going to be a good idea? My heart speeds up as panic spreads through my body. I thought I was over it. I thought, Callie? The door pushes open, and Hayden's head peeks through. His brows are pulled together as he takes me in from head to toe and opens the door wider, stepping inside. What's wrong? I meet his gaze in the mirror, my tongue darting out to wet my dry lips. Maybe this isn't the best idea. Hayden quietly watches me for a moment. Closing the door behind him, he walks toward me and turns me to face him. He cups my face and brushes his finger over my cheek. What isn't? Unable to resist it, I lean into his touch. This. I wave my free hand at my body. He looks at me, his green eyes darkening a fraction. It looks like a really good idea to me. A really good idea. I shove him away. Don't tease. I'm not teasing. He grabs my other hand, his fingers tightening around mine. You look sexy as hell in that bikini. I look horrible. My throat bobs as I swallow. If there are kids at the beach, they'll probably be scared shitless when they see me. Hayden's face turns serious. Is that what this is about? Your scars? I look away guiltily. It's silly, I know, but I can't help myself.
Hayden slides his finger under my chin and forces...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?